Of the Sukkot festival season, the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, and Kol Tzion Lagola of Jerusalem, Israel, in cooperation with the National Broadcasting Company, present Barud, a special program written by Miss Sylvia Berger. The material and recordings used on this program were prepared in Israel by Miss Berger.
To Benaiah the notions peddler on the road to Sodom in the Israel desert known as the Negev. Somewhere between the life he gave up in the Israel desert and the life his father gave his only son, Benaiah the peddler was born. On the dark side of a dead-end street in a city whose name doesn't matter, beside a cardboard suitcase containing...
buttons, needles, combs, elastic.
How much for these spectacle frames, Benaiah? You notice the earpieces, Ben?
8 cigarettes.
2 cigarettes.
6 cigarettes.
2 cigarettes and the heel of this salami. Sold.
Benaiah, the merchant prince. His dealings staggered the world of finance.
Bought a pair of shoes for a cuckoo clock once. Traded in the shoes for a sack of potatoes. 8 4 potatoes. Traded in the rest for a second-hand camera. Received a tip that my name was on the list. Fled the city. Lost my shoes. Traded in the camera for a pair of used shoes. Made myself a profit of 4 potatoes. Not bad, huh?
There is a name for the Benaiahs of the dead-end streets of the nameless cities.
Benaiah the fox. He's quick. He's fluid. Pour him into this bottle, and he takes this shape. Pour him into that bottle, and he takes that shape. Benaiah's ready for any bottle. Unless, of course, they'd break the bottle. Break the bottle. And free Benaiah.
Benaiah. The fact of the matter is, they took Benaiah out of the bottle on the 6th of April this year in the immigration office of one of the cities whose names don't matter. That is Benaiah, first in line at the door marked, do not enter.
If they ask me, do I have any relatives over there, do I say yes?
Do you have any relatives over there?
No.
Well, I think you say no.
Galadi, Benaiah.
Benaiah, Galadi.
Your papers?
My papers.
Your destiny?
Israel. Excuse me.
Yes. What property are you taking out of the country?
My cardboard suitcase. It has no value. No value at all. It just keeps me alive.
And now you know the kind of man Benaiah is. He is the kind of man who is fanatic about staying alive. He will hang on to his life no matter what kind it is. If it happens to be the life of a peddler, why, he'll hang on to peddling. All of which makes it very awkward when he gets to Israel, because the first thing he does is apply for a peddler's license.
To sell a few things in the street, not too many. A few buttons, a few needles, a few combs.
I've already told you, Mr. Benaiah...
Giladi. Benaiah Giladi.
Giladi, that we can't give you a license to sell in the street. Such licenses are limited to people who can't do anything else.
I can't do anything else.
I'm referring to people who are too old to go into a more productive form of labor, or too ill, people who are crippled.
Why do you want me to be crippled? Haven't I had enough without being crippled?
Mr. Benaiah.
Giladi, Benaiah Giladi.
Giladi, I've been trying to tell you that we think it would be better for you and the state of Israel if you would abandon peddling.
But peddling is all I know.
You can learn something new.
Why do you have the right to insult me?
Believe me, Mr. Benaiah, I'm not
Giladi,
trying.
Giladi, why? Because you are behind the desk and I'm in front of it? Don't try to deny it. I know how it is. I wasn't born yesterday. It's welcome, brother. Until you ask for what you want.
I've been trying to tell you, Mr.
Gillardy, Benaiah Gillardy. A man comes into your office. He comes to ask you for a license. He wants to sell a few things. He wants to make a living. What do you tell him? Go back to school, you say. Go learn something new. A man my age. You know what you're doing to me? You're telling me to go out and starve. That's what you're doing to me. You're cutting off my hands and feet. That's what you're doing to me.
The people of Israel won't survive by selling each other toothbrushes and buying from each other needles.
Look.
We're a hungry people, Mr. Gillardy. We're trying to feed close to 2 million people on what would be scarcely enough for 500,000. You want a license to go out in the street with your suitcase and sell? What would you sell? Meat, butter, eggs? We don't have enough. Needles, thimbles, we don't have the currency to bring in the metal. Ours is an economy of bare essentials, Mr. Gillardy. We're fighting to stay alive. Israel is 7,900 square miles in size. 6,600 of those miles are arid, Mr. Gillardy. 90% of our land, your land now, Mr. Gillardy, is wasteland. What can a suitcase of needles and combs do for us, will you tell me? Tell me and I'll be glad to learn.
There is a road being built in the Negev now, a road to Sodom, to the Dead Sea. We're building that highway there because there's potassium in the Dead Sea. And we want that potassium to fertilize our fields. Maybe with that potassium, we'll have a chance. If you want a job on the road, there's transport going down tomorrow morning. The life is hard down there. The men down there are working in the hottest spot in the world, 1,200 feet below sea level. There's a job for you down there if you want it, Mr. Gillardy. It's up to you. The choice is yours.
Why do you sit so confused, Benaiah? Why don't you answer the man? Don't just sit there rolling your crumpled handkerchief in your palms. Tell him what you think.
There is no choice.
Not even in Israel? Not even a choice for you in Israel? Then you're back in the bottle, Benaiah. The word for it in Israel is transport. Transport is anything that moves and can carry a load. A bicycle with a horn can transport ice, bread, lawyers with briefcases, rationed oranges, rationed eggs, frozen fish, and crying children. A good form of transport. A jeep, with its windshield missing and its springs gone, can carry full-size committee meetings on lack of housing, lack of transport, lack of roads, lack of food. A valuable form of transport. A donkey carrying a man with a hat on his head is a recommended form of transport because the donkey consumes no tires or foreign exchange. Though a man carrying the donkey might be even a better form of transport because the man consumes no hay, agricultural produce. The transport carrying Benaiah to the Dead Sea is an old truck with its roof gone, its sides stove in, and its muffler missing. Sharing this estimable form of transport with Benaiah are some 35 men, yellow with dust, fighting off the sun with Haganah battle caps, Arab kafiyas, European felt hats, Moroccan fezes, Yemenite turbans, British pith helmets, and women's kerchiefs. If his were the sort of mind to think in images, Benaiah would think of himself as a fish in a can. But the image would not be right because the fish in the can would be lying snugly on its side, while Benaiah and the men stand squarely on each other's feet.
Don't tell me about cutting rock, I said. I handled the drill on the road to Fallujah and the road of courage under fire. You think the road bed isn't smooth enough? Talk to the roller.
Whom's he got on the roller?
Some ex-clerk from somewhere, some optician, who knows. If this was our normal country, you wanted to build a road, you asked for a gang of laborers, and you got a gang of laborers.
Excuse me.
You're expected to build your roads with watchmakers, fiddle players, rug salesmen.
Excuse me, please.
Huh? What's wrong, friend?
You're standing on my foot.
Oh, sorry. How's that? Got it out all right? Talk about unskilled labor.
Excuse me.
You have to teach these people which end of the shovel is up.
Excuse me.
Huh? What's up, friend? Didn't you get your foot out yet?
Oh, yes. I just don't have any place to put it down again.
How's that? You're standing on both your feet now, friend?
Yes. Thank you. Now I am.
Well, that's fine. You know what I think, Svee? I think the time has come for me to quit the road altogether.
Well, here we are.
All right, men. This is as far as we go.
And there goes old Nutsaw with the old tune for the new men.
This is Kornob. This is where you'll be camped until the road moves up.
Come to Kornob, the playground of Israel.
You'll sleep in those tents to your left there, down below. You'll get your meals in that wooden barracks on your right. You'll be on the work trucks, ready to get out on the road every morning at 6:30. We are not far from the border here. For that reason, no one will enter or leave the camp without a pass.
Hey, friend, are you planning to get down from the truck? You can hear just as well on the ground.
What? Oh, yes, certainly. I'm getting down.
Why are you still standing on the truck, Benaiah, with that stunned, bewildered look? Get down. Get down, clumsy as a bear. Your bundle falls out of your hand. You pick it up, dust it off. You stand in an awkward huddle with the other new men until a tent is assigned to you. You shamble toward it, your bundle clutched against your chest. And with your hand on the tent flap, you stop. In the dull thud of your pulses, you're saying goodbye. To what, Benaiah? What sweet, sharp dream are you weeping for behind your dull, dusty face? Clumsy Benaiah, hapless as a wasted day, your pant legs drooping like a clown's, your mouth hanging open, your dull face turned upon the staring desert, the empty wasteland of Israel.
Are you coming in, friend, or staying out? You're letting in the mosquitoes.
Good night, Benaiah, notions peddler, merchant prince. Here in the desert sand, Abraham, your father's hapless son, Ishmael, once slept. Good night, Benaiah. Sleep quietly.
Hey, what are you doing? Hey, you!
You talking to me, Mr. Doctor?
Didn't you see that marker over there? What did you go over that marker for?
I didn't see any marker.
Well, watch what you're doing, will you? It was right there on that rock beside you. Watch it this time, will you?
Excuse me.
Yeah. What's the matter, friend? What's wrong?
The water truck coming through anymore today?
I don't know. She's gone further up the road.
Do you have any water you can spare?
What's that?
Do you have any water?
Not a drop.
You want to be sure
and fill up when the water truck comes through. That truck has to haul that water 20 miles each way. You can't come around too often.
I'm thirsty.
Hey, you with the rake?
Me?
You're not raking the gravel right. It's me. Show them how to level off this gravel, will you?
Right. Look. First thing you want to do, friend, is grab the rake a little higher.
Higher, huh?
The way you're holding it now, you'll break your back. And what Nutsaw doesn't like about the way you've been raking is that you've been leaving high spots.
Oh.
You want to level them out.
Yeah,
get them even. Uh-huh. That's the way, that's it. Uh-huh. That road bed has to be smooth or the asphalt won't lay right. That's it, that's the way. Just keep smoothing, you'll get the hang of it.
Do you have any water?
What's that?
Can you spare any water?
Canteen's all dry, sorry.
I'm thirsty.
Now, the way they planned that highway to Sodom, the way they planned that road, is they cut it to a vision. They cut it to a dream. And any worker who has tasted that dream finds the going easier, but the others find it tough. And you can pick out on the road the men who know the dream and the men who don't. And the men who don't aren't easy to look at, because suffering isn't easy to look at. Because with a hot sun blowing into your face all day, grinding in your eyes all day, grinding in your teeth, you have to know what you're doing. Because when the jackhammer, the bulldozer, the boiler, the mixer, the roller is roaring in your head, you have to know. Because when you measure the heat of the sun with your armpits, with your red-rimmed eyes, your swollen arms, with your back, you have to know.
Hey!
Or you crumple, the way the rug salesman just crumpled.
Hannah, here's your man. Okay.
Or was it the optician, the fiddle player, the watchmaker, who know that they're working on the highway for their wages? But that knowledge isn't enough. It doesn't hold you up. And now they're loading him on a truck, and they're carrying him away from the highway to Sodom. And the bite of the sun and the brilliance of the desert spin themselves into one vast ball of darkness. And the darkness is spinning in your head, Benaya, is blinding your eyes, dulling your ears. So that blind and deaf, you shuffle behind your gravel rake, smoothing the road bed, leveling, glossing.
Hey, you! Hey, get
raking
back!
Raking the rough stone steadily, evenly, glossing the highway, leveling, glossing.
Hey, friend! Hey, stupid! Hey, get back!
Hey, what's the matter with you? You're blind or deaf or something?
I didn't hear.
Well, you almost got yourself killed not hearing. The next time you hear Baroud, friend, you duck. Because something's blowing up.
Thank you.
Why did you thank him, Benaya? You don't know. All you know is the sun and the heat and the gravel rake.
Let's go!
And the whistle which says you may stop raking now. And the sand truck that carries you back to the camp.
La, 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 ha, ruach, no, shevet. La, 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 omet, omet.
And the smoky hand of night stopping the lonely tents like a cork in a bottle.
The faster you answer to your names, the faster your stuff will be checked and the faster you get out of here. So keep your passes in plain view and have your packages open.
Now, there is something you must know about this camp on the highway to Sodom. You can't get in and you can't get out if you haven't been checked. Now, some men know why it's being done and some men don't. And the men who don't feel angry and shamed because it shames a man to wait behind a barrier waiting until he's told he can go. And as the waiting and the checking continues, even the other men get angry, even the men who know. Because the hours of the Sabbath are precious and few, and life in a camp is dull, and the thought of the family sweet and comforting. And the longing turns to anger, a frenzy of longing and anger sweeps over the men waiting behind the barrier, and suddenly they break and run for the one truck left standing on the road. And it is funny to see them run like dusty clowns, like comic thieves. Though why should weary, desert, lonely men be funny, no one can say. Yet the men checking them off laugh in their anger. And they themselves are laughing, too, as they come back slowly to get behind the barrier and wait to be told they may go.
Well, I have to see 1 week yet when they check everybody out without some kind of incident. You'd think after all this time...
Yeah, it's going to be good to spend 5 whole days with the family.
Lucky thing the Sukkot festival falls after Sabbath, isn't it? Gives us an extra holiday.
And now the men who work on the highway to Sodom turn their eyes toward the towns, and their hearts quicken at the thought of their wives and their children. And the sand and the heat and the loneliness of the desert tents vanish like smoke before the thought of the holiday.
I promised my son I'd start on the Sukkah with him as soon as I get back.
And the road to Sodom is now a two-way road. Also, a road home.
I heard Natsaw talking the other day. He said the road won't be finished for another year. Year and a half, at the least.
Hmm. You going to stay with it to the end?
May as well. Yeah. I still find it hard to believe the Sodom we're building is the same Sodom from the Bible. Sodom and Gomorrah.
They say you can still see that column of salt down there that used to be Lot's wife.
And they speculate lightly on how it was that day when the fire fell and the brimstone came down from the sky.
And the world exploded upon Sodom.
Why do you feel cold, Benaya?
I know her face.
And why does it chill you, Benaya?
I see the shadow of a bottle in the sand.
Why does that chill you, Benaya?
And I raise my eyes and I see that this is the last, the final bottle. The eternal bottle. The last bottle of all.
And why does it chill you, Benaya?
And imprisoned in the bottle of death, I see it, glaring at the sun. A blind, salt face.
And why does that chill you, Benaya?
Because the face is the face of Benaya, the notions, peddler.
Benaya. Many men working on the highway to Sodom find home in the desert town of Beersheba. Some find it in concrete huts with their families and some in immigrant tents, and there are many, like Benaiah, who find it in the Hotel Hanegev for 45 piastres a night. Now, for these men, it is not too bad when the cafes are open and the cars are moving and the shopping goes on for the household, and the children are about sharing their laughter with stranger and friend. But alone at night, it is bad. And on holidays, it is bad. And on this holiday of Sukkot, Benaiah is wandering through the streets of Beersheba, and there is a sweet smell of citron in the air, a smell of eucalyptus, a smell of tamarisk. And the sweet smell is too strong for Benaiah wandering in the dark streets. It gets into his eyes. And there are sounds on Sukkot night in the desert town of Beersheba. And there is a quality to the sounds that is too sharp for the ears of Benaiah wandering in the dark streets, and they cut like a knife. And there are lights on Sukkot night in the desert town of Beersheba. And the lights come from the tents, the concrete huts, the hotel windows. But those are not as bright as the other lights which stab Benaiah wandering in the streets. The lights of the little Sukkot leaning against each tent, each concrete home, the palm leaf huts in which the children of Abraham sit each year to remind them that they had wandered with Moses in the desert for 40 years and had sheltered themselves against the desert sun in palm leaf huts.
Hey, you! Hey, friend!
Me?
Hey, what are you doing wandering around my street?
Is it your street?
Come on in. Ada, a friend, bring a glass of wine.
No, thank you.
Come on in. See you, Suka. Ada.
Shalom. Come in, friend. Have a glass of wine with us. These grapes come from the north, but next year, maybe when the road is finished.
The road?
The road to Sodom. She means when they get the potassium up to Beersheba.
Then we will give you wine from grapes grown right here in the desert.
And the desert will bloom with apples and pomegranates.
When the road is finished. What do you do? Excuse me, friend, I didn't catch...
Benaiah Giladi. Labor on the road to Sodom.
L'chaim.
To the highway to Sodom.
There is a quality to the sound on Sukkot night of a desert town like Beersheba. There is sharpness to the smell of the citron and tamarisk and eucalyptus in the little huts of the desert town. There is a brilliance in the tiny lights that sparkle across the desert at night that make a man foolish, make a man drunk. Drunk with a feeling that's stronger than drink. Foolish with desire to shout what he knows, to sing and to shout. About what, Benaiah?
Benaiah, the peddler, is dead.
To shout and to cry and to tell what he knows.
And the bottle is broken.
How will you tell it, Benaiah? What will you say? How will you tell them the bottle is broken, the peddler is dead?
Benaiah is living.
How will you tell them, Benaiah? What will you say?
Baruch! Baruch!
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in introducing the Honorable James G. McDonald, first U.S. Ambassador to Israel. Mr. McDonald.
Israel's obvious need today, in addition to the funds from the United Jewish Appeal and other interested agencies, is to secure the means through the current $500 million bond drive to undergird the economic life of the country so as to make possible the integration of the hundreds of thousands of ingathered exiles. The sooner the whole amount of the bonds is sold, the more rapidly will Israel become economically self-reliant. But beyond these immediate and desperate financial needs, Israel's cultural and spiritual future is still unshaped. As I emphasized in my book, My Mission in Israel, I believe firmly that Israel must incorporate the best of Jewish traditions and be ready and worthy to represent these traditions before the world. This means first that Israelis must hold on to, or regain where they have lost it, pride in Jewishness. Israelis also must regain the Catholicity of the Jewish tradition, the willingness to learn and profit from whatever is good in the world, in order to deepen and broaden their own path. In every field of endeavor, theology aside, Jews have contributed to the world, transmuted in substance and form, what they have learned from the world. In purely cultural terms, this means that Israel should be willing to import whatever is good to serve as a stimulus to its native talent. It is no accident that the Israel Orchestra and the Weizmann Institute of Science, both of which bring in top talent from abroad, are the two most distinguished and productive cultural institutions in Israel. In political terms, this means that Israel must continue to take a forthright moral stand on each issue that comes up in the world, let the chips fall where they may. It means that Israel ought constantly to be pioneering in a creative way. It is only by following a creative and moral path, a path whose direction and stimulus Israel can draw from its Jewish past, that Israel can be something new in the world. The future of Israel as a land of refuge is, thanks primarily to the courage of its inhabitants and the devotion of Jews throughout the world, substantially assured. The future of Israel as a spiritual force is not without danger, but it is pregnant with splendid hope. After 2.5 rewarding years, I closed my mission confident that Israel will triumphantly vindicate the faith of its builders.
Thank you, Mr. McDonald. Our eternal light drama today, Barud, was written by Sylvia Berger and presented in observance of the Sukkot festival season. This script was the last of three special festival programs presented under the joint auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America and Kol Tzion Lagala of Israel. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Katims. Cantor Robert Siegel was the vocal soloist. Featured in the cast were Peter Capel as Benaiah and Alexander Skorby as the narrator. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brandt speaking. Free Time to Present the Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.